All right, then our next speaker is Raymond Mataba, and he'll be speaking on evaluating variability and water use efficiency of some selected sorghum genotypes.
Thank you. Well, good afternoon. I would like to thank you for coming to attend this session. The research that I'm presenting, we've been trying to screen sorghum genotypes, trying to see whether we can identify some traits that can be used in selecting for drought tolerance. And one thing that we know about drought, it's one of the factors that are key in limiting plant growth, development, and eventually yields that we get from our crops. Drought will also, in its effect, induce some biochemical, molecular, physiological changes, and also processes that will influence how the plant functions at the cellular and also at the whole plant level. And this one eventually leads to a reduction in the yield that you get from that particular crop, and also the quality of the yield, be it grain or be it biomass that you're getting from your crop. Now, when we look at efforts that has been there in trying to improve drought tolerance, and more so in sorghum, the focus has been on one of the things that has been there is the amount of germplasm that has been used is very small. It's about 10% of the existing germplasm, and this is a very small amount. And the trait that has been exploited so much in improving for drought tolerance is mainly the stay green trait, which improves drought tolerance more so at post-flowering stages. In 2006 and 2007, we screened about 300 genotypes of sorghum. And among the traits or among the parameters that we measured was leaf temperature. And one of the interesting things that we found was that we found some genotypes that exhibited high leaf temperature, and at the same time, they also gave us high yields. This is contrary to what we would expect, because we would expect with high leaf temperature, it may mean that this particular plant is trying to restrict its somatoconductance, and it's not pulling a lot of water to cool itself, and therefore the limitation of stomatoconductance will lead to a limitation in the amount of carbon dioxide that goes in, and eventually you'll get lower yields, and those genotypes will be in this region. But we had some genotypes that showed high yields and high leaf temperatures, and we got interested in trying to see what is happening. This work was presented in this meeting last year, and also published in Field Crop Science. Now, there is currently what has been termed as slow wilting in a trait in a couple of crops. And what happens is that a plant imposes some limitation on its transpiration rate. And hence, the transpiration rate reaches a peak, and it doesn't increase more as increased vapor pressure deficit. And this results to a conservative way in which that particular plant is using water. And therefore, with a given amount of water, it can go further into the later growing stages. This particular trait has been found in a couple of crops. It has been found in soybean. It has been found in peanut, palm millet, and those sorghum lines that we identified. Now, because we also wanted to know what could be happening, those sorghum genotypes, the one that we selected, they were taken through an experiment where there was a variation in VPDs, and what we found was that what we found was that the lines that we selected with high leaf temperature, those lines add a break point in their transpiration rate. And this is a phenomenon that has also been found in soybean lines that have been selected for the slow wilting trait. So the explanation that could be there is the slow wilting trait is because of a limitation in transpiration rate, and therefore creating a break point in the rate at which that particular plant is transpiring. So what we thought was, okay, these plants are behaving that way, but are they really conservative in the way they use water? And that is what our main objective in this particular research. We hypothesized that genotypes that will have a limitation in transpiration rate at high VPD will also have high transpiration efficiency and therefore could be conservative in the way they use water. And our objective was to quantify and also compare water use and TE among sorghum genotypes that we had selected, and this was done under controlled environment. We had two experiments that were done. One was done in Manhattan, Kansas, and another one was done in Lubbock, Texas. In Manhattan, Kansas, we wanted to look at water use over time, not within just a short period of time. And we used our PVC pipes to plant our plants, and these pipes were sealed at the bottom and also at the top with plastic paper so that we don't lose water either at the bottom or lose water through evaporation. Seeds were planted and then thinned to a single plant. And the way we determined the amount of water that was used was we would weigh the columns and then seal them, then wait for a period of about 10 days or 7 to 10 days, weigh them again and see the amount of water that has been lost, and that was through the plant. Add some more water and then seal again the columns, weigh them continuously like that, and this was done up to maturity. And then we harvested the plant to look at the amount of biomass that was there and also took some data on photosynthesis, transpiration rate, and stomatal conductance. In Lubbock, Texas, it was the same thing that was done, but these plants was planted in smaller pots. They were grown for about 23 days, but the amount of water used was looked at after a period of 17 days. They were grown and then after some time they were thinned to a single plant. The columns were sealed, the pots were sealed and weighed. And then after 17 days, they are weighed again to see the amount of water that was used within that particular duration. If I can just show a picture showing the setup that we had. These are the columns that we had in Manhattan, whereby we had the plant and the column was sealed at the top and also at the bottom. In Lubbock, Texas, these are the pots that we used, sealing the pots at the top and the bottom to make sure that no water is lost. And this is a protocol that was developed by Sheen, and it's published in Sheen et al. In 2008. And also what we did was we looked at water used, which was based on subtracting the final pot weight and the initial weight. We also looked at total biomass, the sum of root and shoot mass, TE on shoot basis, so looked at the ratio of biomass to water that was transpired, and then also TE on total dry weight basis, ratio of biomass and water transpired. The results that we had was when we looked at the physiological processes, more so on photosynthesis and stomatal conductance and also transpiration, there was a positive correlation in those traits. But also looking at transpiration rate and leaf temperature, we found a negative. As increased transpiration rate, then there was a decrease in temperature, in leaf temperature. And this could be explained by the fact that as you increase transpiration rate or increase stomatal conductance, then you are increasing the transpirational cooling for that particular plant, and that will lead to a decline in leaf temperature. When we looked at water use, just looking at the general water use over time, we saw that there was variation in the amount of water that was used by the different genotypes. One of the genotypes that was there, like TX7078, is a small, it doesn't grow tall. So the amount of water that was used by that particular genotype wasn't so high as compared to another genotype, Higari, which is high biomass genotype. So there was a variability in the amount of water that was used throughout the growing period up to the time we harvested, about 170 days. That was when the plant was almost totally dry. Then also we looked at the amount of water that was used within the 17 days, and this was now from the experiment that was conducted in Lambert. And what we found was that we had some genotypes that had high water use. There is a genotype that we had included as a check, Liang Tang I, as a check because it's a genotype that has been identified as high in TE. And we wanted to see how these other genotypes performed with respect to Liang. And we found that we had some that had high, that used more water than Liang. Then also the other thing was to look at TE and biomass production. There was quite a bit of variability in biomass production. We had some lines that had high biomass production, both root and shoot, and then also we had some that had lower biomass production. But what was really important to us was looking at TE, how these particular plants' genotypes performed as compared to Liang. And what we found was that we had some genotypes that had, like the two that are on this extreme, those were statistically different from Liang Tang Hai as far as TE was concerned. And then the others were numerically different. They had higher TE values numerically as compared to Liang Tang. And then also we had some others that had lower values. When we ranked all the genotypes that we had, because the selection of these genotypes was based on genotypes that we had found with a slow wilting trait. I had about six of them in this collection, and my results show that five of the six genotypes that I had selected for high leaf temperature and high yields, meaning that they had the slow wilting trait, these particular genotypes also proved to be high in transpiration efficiency as compared to Liang, which means this was an element of trying to prove our hypothesis that these particular genotypes could be high in water use. Our conclusions was that we had significant genetic variation in water use for the plants that were harvested at maturity, and also we had significant variation in TE among the genotypes that we used. The majority of the genotypes that we had selected for slow wilting were high in TE, and therefore we can draw a general statement for our experiment that the slow wilting genotypes seem to be conservative in the way they use water. Ongoing research and future research, currently we are also looking at these particular genotypes out in the field, looking at photosynthetic rate, transpiration, stomatoconductance, biomass and yield. We are also trying to understand the mechanisms that control the slow wilting trait, and also exploring opportunities that could be there to incorporate the slow wilting trait in the parental lines for improving drought tolerance. Those are the references that were there. I would like to thank my co-authors, Dr. Vara Prasad, and also Dr. Sheen, also my committee members, Scott, Craig, and Jiaming, and Dr. Jesse, members of the Crop Physiology Lab, and those organizations that did the funding for this particular research. Thank you.
We do have time for questions.
Yes, most of the times identifying the high leaf temperature and high yields, the best place to do that is when you have unlimited water supply, when you have everything. Because if you are trying to identify those lines when you have limited water supply, most of the plants will tend to high to have high leaf temperature. So they will perform still okay under unlimited water supply, and at the same time they will also perform the same in limited water supply. Here the key thing is they are conservative in the way they use water, regardless of whether you have too much or you have limited.
All right. Thank you very much.